Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
All right, so guys, we are shifting the teaching here to a new series called Vision for Life. A Vision for Life. And really what it is, it's a pathway for growth of what we're going to do here at Coastal Hills Church. We're already doing it in many capacities and different angles with different Bible studies. But you know what? This is like going to go from first base to second base to third base. So nothing's missed in the middle. And it has to do with your personal development and your growth. And it's also going to help. We're going to step into it. I'm going to start it off with these first couple of, teachings. And then one of the biggest pushes is we're going to push you into going into second base and being disciple. It's a 3-week discipleship through Tom and Debbie at their house. I really, 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 really want you guys to get on board. And because you know what? A foundation is so necessary for your life. Look at your neighbor and say, foundation's important. You know what? Making some life choices and life decisions. You know, there's some hard decisions in life. How many realize that? There's some very difficult decisions in life that we all have to make. But here's the thing. When you make your decisions, if you base them on what your vision for your life, you might be thinking, I'm only at high school. No, you make these decisions and these principles in your life now. Like, so when the temptations to try drugs or the temptation to cross over into doing something that you're not supposed to, you've already dealt with these things. Some of us have fallen because we didn't make some decisions, some hard decisions, of how we're going to stand and represent Christ. You know, I was talking with our friend T-Bone, and he's a rapper. And he's actually just, you know, some of you know him, have met him already. T-Bone has the number one song right now in Latin America. That represents, guys, that represents like over 200-300 million people. He has a number one song and he's just touring and touring. People are getting saved. His concerts are 100,000-200,000. He had one where there was 1 million. They're just in Brazil and Chile and Mexico. They've been in Mexico. They've been in Argentina. I mean, they're just going everywhere. And I'm just sharing this because he's having success right now. But you know what? When he was discovered as a rapper at the age of 19, 20, something like that. And he told me this. He says, you got to make some tough decisions in life. You got to have a vision for your life. It's not good enough to go randomly into society because you're going to get sucked into different things. You all know it because you didn't have a real vision for this. You didn't have a perspective and a standard for the type of relationships and the people you're going to hang out with and who you're going to represent and what kind of light are you going to shine. If you don't have a vision for life, you'll get sucked into anything. So T-Bone got discovered as a rapper. And he made a decision. The Lord got him in his prayer closet. And he says, T-Bone, you are to rap for Christ and you're going to represent me. The Lord told him, you're going to represent me. So T-Bone made that decision. He says, I'm rapping for Christ. He says, I'm not going to sing any other music, but I'm rapping and representing Christ. He says, 3 days later, Sony calls him and says, listen, T-Bone, we see your talent. We see you're very gifted. And we think you can be, well, basically, we see dollar signs. And we're offering you $1 million to sign with Sony. $1 million. He says, but the only stipulation, you sing our songs. And this is around the, just a little bit around the time Eminem blew up. Because they saw T-Bone. If you've heard T-Bone and Eminem, they're just like, their styles are real similar. Their tones are similar. Eminem, you know, he's foul and gone way over there. And that's what they were wanting to do. But you know what? T-Bone had a deeper vision for his life. And we have to lay out some life standards. And so that's why it's important where we're going here. I pray that you hear what I'm saying today. And everything we do, is like training. In fact, I got very inspired. If you've been watching some of the Olympics over the past month, and you could see the stories, there were so many Christians who got gold medals. If you followed it, I think there was 9 different believers, and they stood for Christ, who got gold medals. And they went through affliction. They went through turmoil. They weren't supposed to be there, but they fought. They stood. And you know what their chief goal and their vision statement for their life was? I'm called to do this. I'm gifted to do this, to represent Christ. In fact, listen to the Allison. Her name is Allison Felix. How many of you saw that? She does 100 meter sprint, 200 meter, and the 400 meter. You probably saw her. She was getting ready to, I think it was the 400 meter, getting ready to win. And the lady from the Bahamas dove across the line. Did you see that? Well, Allison got second place because the girl dove across the line. But listen to what Allison and what her standard and what she is called to do as a Christian. Go ahead and play that video, guys.
I think training is a huge factor in helping me handle that pressure when I actually get to the Olympics, because to me, the competing is the easy part. It's putting in the work, you know, those hours on the track, you know, all year long. That's where those medals are won. I think I love to run because I've always just been super competitive. No matter what it was, you know, I've always enjoyed winning. And track and field is always something where you could, right away, you could tell, you know, who's the best. I'm Allison Felix, and I'm a follower of Christ. I did grow up in a Christian home. My father is a pastor, my mom's a third grade teacher, and so I had a great environment to grow up in. I would say that my faith became my own really in college, so to me that's when I really, really had the chance to take ownership of it and really had that choice if I was going to live it out or not. I think that my faith definitely helps me to stop being so results driven. I think, you know, you always want to look at a race and say, you know, if I didn't win, it wasn't a success, but I think there's so much more to it than that. The Lord has constantly revealed himself to me throughout my career. Ever since the beginning, you know, ever since even coming into track, because I think I had a plan for my life and it was like, it definitely wasn't this. And so I think right away, you know, it's like, okay, this is a different path than I was going to go down. But, you know, if this is what, you know, the Lord's will is, then let's go with it. You know, the work that I've done with FCA, it's always been really great to be able to have an impact on young people's lives. And sport has done so much for my life. And I think it goes hand in hand with your faith. I would love to leave a legacy, a feeling like, you know, I accomplished a lot on the track, but that I was someone who you could look at and say that, you know, they do have faith, and that I try to live my life for Christ. You know, to me that's important, that effort to try to follow his will.
Isn't that awesome? There's a statement that she started off that just struck me. She says, you know what? Competing is the easy part. Being in the race, the matches, the game, those are the easy part. But she says, did you catch what she says? It's the day after day training and stick to it and seeing the vision. And she made a decision because you know what? Allison's probably not the fastest woman there is out there in America, but she's the one who made a decision and the discipline and the mindset and the focus and the commitment to train and do this thing. I say this because as Christians, we have to make the commitment. We have to make the statement. We have to have a vision for our life. In fact, the reason why I thought it was cool that the kids were going to be with us, because you know what? When we make these visions and have a vision for our life, there's things that you'll do because it's all geared to fulfilling the vision of your life. Even so, us adults, as a church, we have to have a vision statement. We have to have a vision for life of what our church is. I went around asking everybody, what do you think our vision statement is for our church? And you know what's really cool? Everybody said loving people to life. You know that? Everybody, I asked about 6 of you. And everybody said loving people to life. Well, what does loving people to life look like? Well, our vision and our life purpose rides on this foundation. And there's four things I'm going to touch on today, because we're not going long, because we're going to kind of celebrate going back to school, and we want to hang and have a little bit of party with everybody. But there's four things that define this vision statement, that loving people to life, what this looks like. And it's built on this foundation. Ready? And it's this. One is to know God. Two is find your freedom. Three is to discover your purpose. And four is to make a difference. You know, it's not good enough just to get saved. You can make a decision for Christ. It's just like going to school, guys. It's not just enough to show up at school, even though some just do that. You're not going to get the full benefit. That's how it is spiritually. God saves us, but he loves us too much to keep us that way. You've heard that before. And God is always taking us to higher new levels in our walk with him. So what I have found, guys, that the devil will work overtime to keep us from these things I just mentioned, from knowing God. He'll work overtime to distract you. How many of you know that's true? I remember when I first got saved that, the relationships of some people that I gave my heart to the Lord. And then, you know, suddenly, I mean, I've never, you know, I don't think I was really ever a dog, but I wasn't, you know, Brad Pitt, you know what I'm saying? Or, and I had hair, so I don't want to say I wasn't half bad, but I wasn't dog. And the Lord smote my wife with blindness. But, you know, when I got saved, suddenly the most beautiful blonde hair, blue-eyed girl shows up at the job that I was working at, and she likes me. Yeah, some of you are like, And you know what? But I had made a decision. I'm following Christ. And her motives weren't right. And her motives weren't pure in the friendship that we developed. But it's like there's certain things that the devil's going to work over time to get you distracted. He'll make you feel so insignificant that you feel like you have to work overtime at the job to always prove yourself. You're always proving yourself. You always have to be the best. And you're never like comfortable with who you are in Christ. You always have to like, there's this little secret competition. And on the job, you're trying to outdo somebody, outshine somebody, because I'm not talking about just being lazy and never trying to strive, but you're always in it because you're trying to prove and show you have worthiness and that you have legitimacy about your life. How many of you know what I'm saying? And you know what? If you don't understand who you are in Christ, the devil will allure you this way or get you caught up into this activity or these types of relationships. You know what I'm saying? He will. He'll bring people to keep you from fulfilling your purpose. And so number one, about having a vision for life. And this, we can also, let me just tag this along. This could also be, this is going to be not the vision for life for you, but the vision for life for our church. This is the statement of what we're built upon. And I've never really put it this way. I've shared it with our leaders, but this is something that needs to define our life. And number one, again, it's to know God. The vision statement for your life, for your personal life, but for our church, is number one, know God. Make it your life purpose to know God. Now, interesting, I was just thinking about this, but number one is to know God. Guys, listen to me. I didn't say number one was don't sin. You know, the old time Christianity, they would put that number one, make sure you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, don't you sin. Don't sin. Why do you serve the Lord? Because I don't want to sin. And that's the wrong whole motivation. Know God. To know God. In fact, listen to what Paul says popular scripture, but it's powerful. This is from the Message Bible. Paul said it this way. He says, I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. In other words, inferior stuff is sometimes you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to get rid of some mindsets stuff. That's why God transforms us by the renewing of our mind. He says, I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. That's his life vision. That I might know Christ, get this, personally. Not knowing through your mommy and daddy, not knowing through youth pastor, not knowing God through your pastor, not knowing it through a praying spouse. No, we all know him what? Personally. Personally. In fact, I like what Jeremiah put it this way. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. This is one of those Hall of Famer verses you need to just coin in your spirit. Listen to this. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Let him who glories in this, that he understands and what? Is it up there? And knows me. That he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So it's not in your accomplishments and your gold medals and all your achievements and how many good grades you get and how many friends and how many likes you get on Facebook. And, you know, we put all these, have so much value in these things. But he says, don't glory in that. Don't glory in your strength. Don't glory. You know what that means? Glory in your might. I mean, don't glory in your talent. You know, I've been in that place. We all been. I had a huge identity crisis. That was one of the things that led me to Christ. It's because I played so many sports in high school, competed and traveled and championships and all this stuff with baseball. And then when I got 19, I was too old and I didn't play college baseball because God had a different direction in my life. But suddenly when the sports was gone, I was like, who am I? We all have that place of who am I? Because when it's all said and done, how about this? Your whole life could be plagued with failures and trials and shortcomings. And you could see your life as a failure. But the scripture saying, do not glory in your might. Do not glory in your wisdom. But how about this? Don't glory in your shame. But glory in this, that you understand and know me. Every one of us has this invitation to know God. To know God. That's a life vision. Know God. Get to know him. You know, I'm going to just give you four little things. This came this morning when I was on my way. But to knowing God, and we'll get more into this, but number one, to know God, you got to position yourself to be with him. I got four P's here. Four P's. Position yourself to hear him. Second thing, not just position. How many know you can position yourself, but your focus isn't there? So you got to prepare your heart. So you got to position yourself. Got to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Stir yourself. It's like there's nothing else that matters. Sometimes you got to remove the clutter of life and disappointments and even exciting things. You're exhilarating in something. You're really excited about it. But prepare your heart for him alone. When I say prepare your heart, move the clutter and the distractions. So number one, to knowing God, you got to position yourself. Number two, you got to prepare your heart. Number three, get this. You got to practice. Remember, you hear the word, you get to know God. You got to practice. You hear it. And the Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be what? Doers. So practice. So position, prepare, practice. Begin to implement the word in your life. And then lastly, get this. Make that a pattern. Make that a pattern. So here it is. So knowing God, you got to position yourself to hear. That position means take time. Make it a priority. Take the time. Two, prepare your heart. Got to practice what you hear and then make that a pattern in your life. Amen? Amen. Vision statement for life is number one was what? Know God. Know God. Number two, for our vision for life, we got to learn to find our freedom. Find freedom in Him. Amen? Ever get anxious? Fearful? Like I was just saying, you can get locked and chained to your disappointment and get attached to that. But we got to learn to find our freedom in Christ. And this is real simple. But John 8:31, we all have heard this, but we're going to go 8:31 through 36. Go ahead and bring that up. It says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples. Abide means to continue, remain in Him, live within His word. You are My disciples. Keep going. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free. I found out not everybody wants to hear the truth. Have you found that out? Just work in the medical field. You could tell somebody, stop smoking. They don't want to hear it. Do you realize not everybody wants to hear the truth? You could tell something, you got to lose weight, honey. Honey. Not everybody wants to hear the truth. So part of what we've talked about before, preparing our heart to hearing what God, because you know what, the truth will what? Make you free. Keep going. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? I like that. That's such a, you know what? We have just excuses in life. We can make excuses. How many of you realize, look at your neighbor, stop making excuses. You know what? That's not even, they said, listen to what they said. They says, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage. You kidding me? Starting all the way back. Israel was in bondage to Egypt 400 years. I guess they forgot about that one. And then they were afflicted by, you know, Moab and Amalek. And then they were attacked by the Philistines. And then the Babylonian Empire overcame Israel. And then the Assyrians. Hundreds of years. They says, we've never been afflicted. We've never been in bondage. That's not even a true statement. Keep going. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Keep going. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, finding it as we get to know Christ, guys, He will liberate you in every, you know, in every area of our life. You know, I love Bill Johnson said this. He says, you know what? God will heal you everywhere that you're broken. He heals all the broken places. Finding the freedom. And how many realize entanglements are subtle? Man, you could have a great marriage, but there can be little something sneak into your marriage. Me and my wife, you know, we've learned to forgive right away. Right away. I know some of y'all, some people will go days. And you know, it'll quench the spirit and grieve the heart of God. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. And stay in that place because that entanglement is designed to enslave you. I don't know about you. After we've been fighting and we apologize right away, it feels good. You just, you know, with my kids, we forgive right away. We forgive right away. In fact, real quick, sometimes I want to stay mad. I'm Brendan. I want to stay mad. But that stuff is designed to entangle, and your life has its way of binding you. So what we have to do, make it your life vision to find your freedom in Him. Find your freedom in Christ. Amen. And then, you know what? It's not just finding your freedom, but making decisions to stay free. Once you find your freedom, making that decision to stay free. Just listen to this scripture. This is interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, oh, you know what? I found this scripture last night, and I don't think I gave it to Dion, but this is a good scripture. I'll just read it right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. In other words, I have the freedom to do whatever I want. You do. In Christ, you're free. That is, if it's not contrary to the heart and commands of the Lord. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful. I mean, it's legal. I could do. All things are lawful for me, but here's the catch. But I will not be brought under the power of any. We have to recognize when something wants to press us, when something wants to control you, when something wants to take over your thinking and your focus, right? And be watchful of these things. Number three, our life vision, for personally it should be, but also as a church, number three is to discover our purpose. Why am I here? What is your purpose? That's a good question. But here's the thing, and I want to stop it here. Because sometimes, oftentimes, more times than not, people are called to serve under. Not everybody's called to take their vision. Actually, Josh kind of touched it. It says, you know, if you're not faithful, am I in the dark? Do I need to back up? Okay. I could see the light. But as Josh said, he says, if you're not faithful in another man's money, how can the Lord give you your own? And so basically, that's really a biblical principle, that just being faithful in another man's, and actually there are other scriptures, that particular verse talked about finances, but it talked about being faithful in another man's work and upholding, being faithful in that which belongs to another. When you're faithful in that which is another's, then God will see fit to give you your own. Okay, so don't get under condemnation. I don't know what it is. You know what? Simplified, just serve and serve under somebody else's vision until God gives you your own. Dion and I served for years. Years, did worship for years, led young adult groups for years. Just served, never got paid. We served probably, I don't know. I served under a church for almost 12 years. Never saw a dime. I was there as much as the staff. Never saw a dime. But you know what? I had a vision to impart. And I knew God had put it in my heart to reach and minister within the boundaries of this church, to see this church succeed. Not my own vision. See the church succeed. And oftentimes you won't see a clearer picture until you serve. That's just how the kingdom of God works. Two things about finding your purpose. You know what? You may not have a vision and seeing exactly what you're supposed to be. But you know what? There's two things that I found out that are really key to finding and discovering your own personal purpose. It's real simple. Two things. Serve. Look at your neighbor and say, serve. And the last one is this. Love. Love freely. Love extravagantly. You know, sometimes we've been so hurt and disappointed at other people, we stop loving. You stop loving, you actually shut the kingdom flow and resource. The kingdom resources are cut when we can't forgive, when we don't let go of things. Amen? So those two things, discovering your purpose. I'm just going to read what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says. It says, God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That word holy means set apart. God has everyone a calling set apart for you, specifically branded for your life. It is honed and shaped for you. That's why it's important to be who God's called you to be, not what society has dictated. You know, let me just share something. I was on my way to being an engineer. I was going to college to be an engineer. Why? Because it was engrafted by my dad. It was engrafted by my teachers. They were saying, oh, you're going to be an engineer. You got to, and you know how it is in high school. Everybody's like, what are you going to? What do you study? I'm going to do engineering. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. Everybody has their own little plan of what they're going to be in life. What are you shooting for? And it's good to have goals and visions, but make sure it's God's vision for your life, not what somebody wanted you to be. Amen. That's freeing. That freed me up when I realized I was taking all my engineering courses, and I'm like, I hate this. I'm in physics, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't see these particles that they say they're there, and I can't find the equation to make it the right answer. Then I have a friend who just was naturally, we played basketball together in high school, and we're taking college courses together. He's 6'8", 280 pounds now. He's like, hey, Troy, I'll pass it to you. You dunk it. And the guy's wired for physics. And I says, dude, how did you get that answer? He's like, I just got it. Well, show me how you did it while I plug the formula in. Okay, I got the formula, but how do you know what numbers go to what letter in the formula? And how did you know that the x-axis was, I couldn't figure it out. And Troy just got it. He was wired for it, man. And so, guys, begin to discover who's you, but find God's purpose. Amen. Not what society and teachers and everybody else said. You got to find your God purpose. Amen. It says, God who saved us called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And lastly, guys, a life vision. Life vision. These things have to be set in order. Here's what God, he calls us, he's anointed us, but here's what it's for. To make a difference. To make a difference. Not to be difficult. Some of y'all, my gifting in life is to make life difficult across everybody I come across. No. Some of y'all know people like that. No, our life purpose, our life vision is this, to make a difference. That means when somebody is isolated at school or at the job, you're the one who reaches into their life and speaks hope and acceptance and giftings and your just acceptance within itself. Amen. Making a difference. Our lives need to make a difference. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And it's 19 through 22. But listen to what Paul says. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. What did he say? I made myself a servant to who? Is it up there? For though I am free from all men, I have made myself servant to who? A servant. There it is. And he says, that I might win the more. He became a servant to win more. Listen to that. He became a servant to what? To win more. Go ahead. Keep going. He says, and to the Jews I became a Jew that I might win the Jews, and to those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win, say win, those who are without the law. Keep going. To the weak I became weak, that I might be, this is, you know what it's saying? You're relatable, you're relevant. Amen? that I might by all means save some. So he's talking about winning and saving some. His life story is this. I'm going to finish here about making the difference. But I picked out, remember last week's video with the woman, what was her name? Abby D'Agostino, when they fell in the race. The Holy Spirit, get up, we got to finish. You know what that incident, I don't know if you followed up with it, but she tore her ligaments and meniscus in that accident. You saw her running and finish. That was with the torn ligament and a hanging meniscus in her knee. She finished the race. But get this, I did a little research on her. She is a Christian. Listen to what she says. We're talking about making the difference with our life. She said, during Abby D'Agostino's first Olympic run, in the 5,000 meter race, she managed to tear her ACL, meniscus, and strain her knee. While she missed out on winning a medal, God had bigger plans for an injured D'Agostino, who helped her fallen competitor, New Zealand's Nikki Hamblin, finish the race after the pair got tangled in the race. Here's what she says. The only way I can and have rationalized it is that God prepared my heart to respond that way, said D'Agostino. The whole time here, he's made it clear to me that my experience in Rio was going to be about more than my race and performance. As soon as Nikki got up, I knew that was it. D'Agostino's valiant effort resulted in her receiving a fair play award. So that injury there took her out of the 4 years of training. But she saw that she had a deeper purpose. It wasn't the gold. But what she did was captured and actually probably advertised more than the people who won the gold medals. Her picking up her friend. We got to finish. Our life needs to matter. Amen? It needs to make a difference. Just a question. To make a difference, you've also heard this saying coined, being the difference. Amen? Did you know Christ in you can make a difference in anybody? And we begin to release him and let him, his love flow through our life. Listen to this. Russell, how many know Russell Wilson? You've heard of quarterback for Seattle. Seahawks won the Super Bowl through the interception the year after to lose the game. Russell Wilson. You know, he met a singer. Her name is Sierra. I don't know much about her, but she sings and dances and didn't have a very good reputation. She's a believer. They met at some celebrity thing. I don't know where, but they met. They became friends. Found out she's a Christian, but she's living on the edge, not where she should be, like many of us have been at one time in our life. The Lord spoke to Russell Wilson. He said he knew he was going to marry her. And the Lord told him, I want you to care for this woman. Remember we just read Becoming All Things to All Men that we might win? Well, he ends up marrying this woman. And I just want to give you a little. The world is so, makes me mad how they do it. But the world glories in seeing people fall and destroy their lives. They want their dirt. They don't want to tell and celebrate, you know, Russell Wilson serves God and lives in integrity. That doesn't sell. They want to see dirt and uncover, well, what about his previous marriage? You know, he was married before, and I don't know all the details. I just know he represents now. And I know he doesn't live the perfect life, but any of you live that perfect Christian life? Amen? I think we need to extend a little mercy on others. But listen to what Russell Wilson, I got this article. It says, a celebrity news site is claiming that Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has been brainwashing his new bride, Sierra, with his Christian lifestyle. The site Celeb Dirty Laundry states, the singer is no longer in contact with some of her closest friends, including Kim Kardashian. That's a good one. And isn't provocatively dancing and giving fans shows during her performance like she used to. Wilson and singer Ciara got married July 6, 2016. I know some people say, oh, I don't approve. Well, it's not your choice. We need to learn the love hopes the best. I want to see these people succeed, okay? Maybe they had a bad tabloid, bad night, made a bad decision. But I do want to see these. We need to pray for these Christians in a high profile that they succeed. Because that's going to change people's lives. Amen? We're talking about making the difference. They got temptations. T-Bone says the temptation of being a celebrity is unparalleled. Unparalleled, the temptation. So we're quick to point those fingers, but that's not. Coastal Hills doesn't do that. Amen? So anyways, however, Celeb Dirty Laundry questions the genuineness of the couple's happiness. Ciara might have made a lot of changes to help please her husband, Russell Wilson, but will it take long for the cracks to show in the facade before she goes back to her old habits? Isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad commentary? They want to see her fail and show her true colors. But I tell you something, when God gets a hold of a heart, he changes all the bad colors and you wear the colors of Christ. Amen. And it's true and genuine. The world wants to see them fail. They're mad at her. Brainwashed. You know what? Your brain needs to get washed when you've been in the world for so long. Because we've had some really bad thinking. Thank God for brainwashed by the Holy Spirit. Sanctified, renewed by the Holy Spirit. Important. Amen. So we pray for them. I pray they succeed. Amen. And so I have other Bubba Watson. He's a professional golfer. He does not hide his Christianity. He's making the difference. Does not even draw back. Allison Felix, you saw her. And she just taught, she made mention that her whole purpose is to shine Christ. To show forth Christ. Amen. So to make a difference. Guys, there's four things that we talked about. That it needs to be our vision for life. Number one, guys, if you make that your purpose right now, just make a choice. My life vision, number one, is to know God. Don't let anything deviate from that. Even, you know, sometimes I know you can press in to get God. It's like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Don't stop. Even King David, the man after God's own heart, did you know he, it seems like probably half of his psalms were, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Don't quit. God just wants us to lean in and push in to get to know him. Don't stop. Get to know him. Let that be your life verse. But number two, what was number two? Was number one, know God. Number two, find freedom. Get free in every area. Don't be entangled. The yoke of bondage is, amen. Number three is to discover our God purpose. And number four, make a what? Make a difference, not be difficult. Amen. This can coin and sum up where we're going as a church. Everything we design and everything we have coming up are going to hinge upon this vision statement right here. Amen. I pray God makes us thirsty to know him.